Robert Lawrence has lived in Florida, New Mexico, and now resides in Madison County. All of those locations figure in his first novel, The Departure Lounge. Lawrence was the Robert A. Loeffler Distinguished Professor of Law at the University of Arkansas and also taught in Florida and in Albuquerque. He's now retired and looks after some former racehorses. Departure Lounge, his novel, is set in the mid-1980s, before cell phones or email, and it centers around a letter writer and his friends. Though the letter writer knows them all, they don't know each other, and the reader is allowed to see how their lives almost, then do, connect. Robert Lawrence will read from his novel tomorrow night at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. This week, he visited the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about his book.
At the end, there's an acknowledgement, a very strange acknowledgement, you may have noticed, to a person whose name I can't remember, who a long time ago read part of what is now Chapter 2 and said, I'd like to have a beer with her, in reference to the character who is now called Britt. And, I was a new writer, new fiction writer, and I took that, I suppose, as the way most new fiction writers would take it. That is a compliment. And it took me, 10 years or so for it to come to me that it wasn't a compliment at all. I think what she was saying, I entirely lost track of her. She was an MFA student at the university. I think what she meant was get out of her head, go down the mountain, and let me have a beer with her. Stop being so internal and have her do something. And once I did that, once I decided that's what she actually meant, it opened up all that detail, maybe too much detail. One of Elmore Leonard's famous 10 rules is not so much detail. He admires greatly a Hemingway story in which, I forget which one, in which the only thing we are told about the protagonist, he's called the American and the girl he walked in with. I'm no Hemingway. and so I do go on. It gave me the luxury of writing at length about scenes.
But what I liked about the characters, and as they slowly sort of interweave, was the internal, because we know so much about what they're thinking. And that, I think, propels the story. So I'm glad you didn't lose too much of the internal.
Maybe not. As you've already pointed out, I didn't take much out. I just added all the external details of what people were wearing and what they were eating and what the scene looked like and what the scenery looked like. And there's lots of dialogue. And here's another occurrence. I was reading a story written by a friend of mine in which there was a law office interview. And I sent him an email. I said, I like the story, but that's the shortest law office interview that has ever happened. Things don't happen that efficiently. Well, I quickly realized that I was subject to my own criticism, that I had some meetings between students and faculty members in their offices where they got right down to business and talked about what would advance the plot and then said goodbye. And that's not the way teachers talk to students. And so the conversations became quite digressive, I guess, and people talk about all kinds of things and that are off the topic, and it eventually comes back. And we've all had those kinds of topics, those kinds of conversations where somebody will say, wait a minute, how do we get here? And then somebody else will say, well, we were talking about that and then that, and then we got to here, and then you mentioned that. And so, yeah, I've written a bit like that.
It's funny you bring up faculty and meetings, because the book opens with a faculty or an academic committee. And a very contentious and at times petty meeting. And I'm thinking that a lot of people, academic or not, who have been involved with committees can recognize some of the things that were happening there.
Yeah, it's a faculty meeting of a sharply divided faculty, which is not a pretty thing to watch. Luckily, I haven't been involved in many of them, but once you start saying, well, I think I'm going to have a sharply divided faculty, then you can have fun with that. And that's what I did. And maybe so. Maybe I hope it doesn't hit too close to home for too many people because, like I say, it's not pretty to watch.
I just – and see, this is the danger in your readers because we might assume something. I just assumed, oh, gosh, he has to have been through a meeting like this because it was – it seemed pitch perfect.
You know, with everything in the book, I suppose, the places are real, but the events are embellished. And so that would be true there, too. I've been in some contentious meetings, but nothing like that.
When did you get the idea for the spine of the story with one person who has connections to others and how they kind of affect each other? When did this idea come to you?
I guess the first step was... at one point, as I mentioned, I like to travel and I like to write, and I was a letter writer. As I mentioned to another group of people, maybe I should say to some of your audience that a letter is sort of like an email, except it's on paper. And I liked writing letters, and so I thought, okay, here's my niche. I'll be a travel writer who writes stories in the form of letters. And so I tried out a few of those, and I showed them to a couple of people, one of whom said, write fiction. And I said, oh, well, I'd never thought of that, really, and that's an interesting idea. So, all right, we'll take this letter that I've written and create the recipient. That's fun. And I don't know, at some point it occurred to me that the story should be more about the recipients than it is about the letter writer. And then there was, as you point out, what would it be, 2 degrees of separation, the fact that the recipients all know the letter writer, but they don't know each other. I think everybody's been kind of interested in that idea about what would my friends think of each other if they actually met, because we all have friends that are close to us but who are strangers to each other. So I started to write that way, the way the lives of three strangers might become intertwined against the background of these letters from their mutual friend who's traveling around.
And it's interesting because you allow us to be these voyeurs and to kind of we get to see the whole narrative.
Yeah, well, they don't.
Right.
That's the fun of it for me, I think, to say that by looking outside at these characters as they go about here are two people who don't know each other, but they have a close mutual friend, and they're in a restaurant together. Are they going to discover that? I kind of like that question, that idea. It adds a little mystery, I guess, just to the way we go through life.
It reminded me somewhat of a Robert Altman movie. You know, some of those Altman movies where we, the viewer, know all the characters, and some of them know each other, but they'll pass by and not know that they almost know each other.
That's high praise, which I'll take. I don't claim it for myself, but thanks.
Yeah.
I'm glad you saw that going on. And one of the last things I had to do, there's the Tallahassee part of the story. There's the Albuquerque part of the story. And for a long time, they were largely separate. And I decided that just can't be. Then it just becomes two novellas sitting between the same cover. And so I created Nikki Wallace, who kind of goes back and forth between the two worlds, and it's quite a coincidence. And I think the way some people will react to the story depends upon whether I'm able to sell that coincidence to people or not.
Robert Lawrence will read from and discuss his first novel, The Departure Lounge, tomorrow night at the place he calls the Jewel of Dixon Street, Nightbird Books. He lives in Madison County and was the Robert A. Loeffler Distinguished Professor of Law at the University of Arkansas before his retirement.